Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Good to see you on this fine, shining day. I hope the weather stays bright for you. Well, listen, I'm sure we all know it's our last Sunday here, but before I start saying what the Lord has put in my heart, I want to say a heartfelt, sincere thank you to you guys, because you guys received us in your hearts and received us in your lives, and you've allowed us to grow on you, and you have grown on us. And so I wanted to say off the start, you know, God has knit our hearts together, you know, and this is not just a goodbye and we never see again. You know, I wanted to say for the one last time, Carol, I know you said this many times, this is a good church. There really is a good church. Come on, tell to your neighbor, this is a good church. Not to me, not to your person next to you. This is a good church, and we will always have a special heart for this church, and you will always have a special heart in our hearts. So thank you. Thank you for loving us and to have allowed us to just do life here for a season. And I know, and I know, and I know we will see each other again in heaven. So lovely. You are welcome to come and see us in the next church, you know, and all of that I will mention in a bit. Okay, so today I wanted to preach from Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 12. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 12. You know, Deuteronomy basically means second law, or it means repetition of a law again. Deuteronomy concentrates on the events that took place on the last week of Moses. You know, before he moves on to what the Lord had for him, he had a few things to say to his people. And much like what I've been praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to speak to your people, to your sheep this morning? I believe this is what the Lord has put on my heart. You see, the scripture reveals very much of the heart of the Lord, about the character of the Lord. It's very much what I want you to remember. If there was anything that you want to remember about Amal, Liberty, and Cedric and Oswald, is this, just this one thing. Nothing about me, it's about the Lord. So let's listen to what the word of the Lord says. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might, that these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your head, sign on your hand, and shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and the houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full," listen to this warning, "then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Let us pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. And Lord, as your word says, that every day brings new mercies, new grace, Lord. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds be listening to what your word says, Father. Father, would you forgive our many sins as we come before you, as we want to listen to your word, Lord. Clean our hearts and our minds, and we want to listen to what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You see, back in the day, Moses did not give us this Bible that we have today. You know, we can just easily get our Bibles out and we can just read what the word of the Lord says. But back in the day, Moses was pretty much saying, look, you have to talk to your children diligently. This is a great prayer. This has been prayed for ages and ages by the Jewish people. Every morning, every evening, they say, Shema, O Israel, hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And that is what Jesus says, the first and the greatest commandment. And when we do these two, love the Lord with all your heart and love each other, what Jesus was saying is everything else that are required of us will just flow organically. We'll just flow, that we don't have to strive to do it, because from our heart, from our minds, because we got ourselves aligned with the Lord, everything will just flow naturally. And that is the central theme of the whole Deuteronomy. I encourage you to read that. You see, the word here, I'm not going to concentrate more on the whole text, but just that verse 5 and 6. With all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. And that is all. And see, the word here doesn't mean just hear. Are you hearing me? It's not like that. It's not, are you hearing me? Or you're saying, oh, I hear you. It's not like that. It means to pay attention to. It's to focus on what the Lord is saying. Listen closely. Obey. Keep my commandment. That's what it means. Back in the day, when Moses' day, when it says, what it means is, if I say to you, brother, I will listen and obey what you say. It's the same word. It's the same word. I will hear and I will hear what you say. That's basically what the word real word meaning is. But basically, for now, for us in this now, in this postmodern context, it means that we listen to the Lord. We pay attention. That's what Moses is calling all the people. Hear, O Israel. I'm saying to you this morning, hear, people. And that's what in Jeremiah 5:21 says. I think I gave that scripture to Mr. Tim Sugar, my impeccable organizer of the scriptures. Listen to this. We say we have hearing ears, we have eyes to see. But we don't. We don't. Listen to this. Hear this. Oh, foolish and senseless people who have eyes but see not. Who have ears but what? But hear not. We do have all these things the Lord has given us, and yet we're just so blind to what the word of the Lord says. And this is the promise that the Lord your God has given you. Exodus 19 verse 5. Exodus 19 verse 5. Listen to this great promise. It's going to come. It's not, I'll read it to you. It's not listening to read from the Bible. Exodus 19 verse 5. I might have said it wrongly. I'll read it to you guys. Listen to this. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all people, for the earth is mine. Do you want to be possessed? What does it say? Treasured possession of all people? Yeah, yes or no? You want to be special people? Yeah, then listen to the Lord. Obey the Lord. Keep His word. Because the Lord has promised you that you will be. If you listen to my voice, you listen to my word, you listen to what the word of the Lord says, the Holy Spirit says, then you will be special people. You will literally, I have somebody say to me, unto Liberty, you know, when you fall on the ground, there's a saying, you get up with gold dust in your pockets. And that's what it is, because your people, no matter what, how many times you mess up, and when you come back to the Lord and you say, Lord, would you forgive me? I have done many sins in my life. Would you come back into my heart? I want to listen to you. I hear you. I want to focus my attention on you. And the Lord will bring you back for all things what? Will work together for your good. for your good. And so, listening and hearing God should be pattern of our life. That's why we say, hear, hear, O Israel, hear. And sometimes people struggle. Well, I don't hear the voice of the Lord. I don't hear what the Lord is saying. And I challenge you and I tell you, take your Bibles, turn to the word of the Lord and read it loudly. And then you will hear His voice. And then you will hear the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is saying. And every day as you wake up, have a sense of expectation. What is the Lord saying? It's not a chore every day. We read a chore. We take a, okay, January the 1st, I read this. February the 2nd, I read that. But we wake up every morning, Lord, what are you saying to me today? What is it that I want to hear today? And that is what we need to say to the Lord every time we pray. And what do you want me to hear? And that is what we say, hear, O Israel. Hear, O people. So going back to the text, what does it say after that? Hear, O Israel. This should be on our hearts every time. So if you're young people, memorize these scriptures. Say it loudly in your toilet time. Say it. Lord, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all your mind. Yeah, and says, your Lord is one. Now, back when Moses wrote this, there were many Canaanite gods. So what Moses is saying is, you shall have only one God. There is no other God. And that is what Moses himself had the experience in Exodus chapter 3. Remember when the bush was burning and he was asking, Lord, what is happening here? And then the Lord speaks to Moses and says, I am the Lord. Now you shall go into Egypt and you shall save the people. And he says to the Lord, Lord, if people ask you, what is your name? What can I say? Who should I say that sending me? And he's saying, well, the Lord says, say to them, really the word meaning is, I will be. Say, I will be sent you. I am who I am in some of the translations that you may have. Say that. He is the one. He exists. Sent you. But then Moses, I think we have the scripture, Exodus chapter 3, 13 to 15, I think. Moses said to the Lord, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people, I am has sent me to you. Imagine that. Your dad sent you to the shop to go get something. And he says, I am sent you to go get something. It doesn't make any sense, does it? And so the word of the Lord, when it came to him, changed to, then he said, I am the covenant God, who is a God of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you, and my name shall be remembered forever. And then that name became Adonai, means the Lord. The Lord has many different names in the Bible. Did you know that? Many names. His name is Elohim. It means God's power and might is supreme. He is the true God. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And then here we see the same word, Adonai, which is the Lord, means he is the head over all. It's the word Moses was hearing from the Lord is, say to them, he is the God who is the head God over all has sent me to you. And then we have another name called Yahweh. It means he's a divine name. And I encourage you, go to the Bible. And when you have youth, whatever that you guys do on a Friday, look into the characters of God, the names of God. Another word, El Elyon, means he is the God most high. There is no other gods. He is the only one God. And then Elroy, not Leroy, Elroy. He is a God who sees you. And you see, Lord, I am going through these hard times and no one sees me. And I can't see what the future is. I can't see the end of the tunnel. Here it is. El Roy, God who sees you. He oversees all creation and the affairs of yours. And Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Jireh. What is this? Some people might know. What does that mean? The Lord provides. Thank you. Top of the class. He will always provide for you. Your batch will not run out. Adonai, we saw that. Yahweh Shalom. What does that mean? Shalom means peace. Yeah, and you say, Lord, I don't have any peace. And then here the Bible says, He is the God who gives you peace. And I can keep going on and on and on. Yahweh Shama means the Lord is there. The Lord is there, guys. And then that word Adonai became the Yahweh, became Mr. Tyndale when he was translating the Bible. The tradition of the Hebrew is they don't want it to say the Lord's name just flippantly. They had such an adoration. They had such a respect for the Lord. They wanted to honor the Lord. And so they just had the consonants YHWH. And so they had Yahweh. And then they wanted to keep maintain the same heart. And so Tyndale, when he wrote the English in, Bible in the English language, they inserted the vowels. He inserted the vowels A, O, and A. And then it became Jehovah. Jehovah. That's right. That's a cool entrance song for the Lord's name. I love it, Mr. Cutler. There's always a way Mr. Cutler wants to get attention. Bless him. And so, I wanted to encourage you. It's the Lord, it's God, is worth anything. If Christ is worth anything, He's worth everything. Is He your God? Is He your one true God? He's the Lord of all, or Lord, or not Lord at all. So that is the Lord. And then I quickly move on to love. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love. I know a few weeks ago I was saying to you guys about different kind of love. Husband and wife love, parental love, brotherly love. People with leadership, we have a love for. And we say, well, I support this person. And then we have political love. All this kind of love that we have in our life. But here, when the Lord says, love the Lord, it's not just a duty, but it is a, it is our, what did I put here? You can just see, I just wrote it down. I did not even, it's not a feeling, it's an action. I have written it down. My eyes did not see it. It's not just a feeling, oh Lord, I just love you, and it's just lovey-dovey. No, it's action. If you love the Lord, we will obey the Lord. Deuteronomy 7:7-8. It wasn't because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. You were only the fewest, but it's because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you from the house of slavery, and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You see, whenever you see these kind of language here, oh, the Lord has saved you from Pharaoh and Egypt. You see, Egypt is like the world. The Lord has saved us from the world. He has saved us from the Pharaoh of this world, the prince of this world. Who is the prince of this world? Yeah, he's Satan, he's the enemy. So the Lord has redeemed you, and He has made you His people. You are His treasured possession. You are His precious people, and you guys are precious sheep in His pen. That's why Jesus says, I know who belong to me, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. And God even says, they are the pupil in my eye. What it really says is, look, have you ever seen, I know you guys are, you know, son and father, and when I go close to you, you know, I can see myself in your pupil, right? But you can't, but I can. But what it means is the relationship. You can only have that relationship with somebody with who you are close to. And that's what, so I can see myself a little man in your eye pupil. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what God is saying. You are a pupil in my eye. And when you have that close relationship with Jesus, you can see your little man, yourself, in his eye. And that's the sort of close relationship that Moses is saying, love the Lord, love the Lord, and love the Lord. And when you know how you treat the Lord, and when you have your vertical relationship with the Lord right, then we will treat the horizontal love and relationship right. Love in action, that's what it is. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, verse 18. I know I gave this, Tim. You can, yes. It's coming. It's coming. There it is. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You know what, guys? I'm telling you, whatever offenses you have with each other, just lay it down at the foot of the cross, because you're not going to take that anywhere, because you're only going to rob yourself. You're going to rob the love the Lord has given you, and you're going to only affect your own relationship with Him and with each other. And that's what Jesus says. Look, put things right. And Paul elsewhere, he says, live in peace as far as you're able to. As far as you're able to. Because we can't take this grudge upon ourselves. And if we say, Lord, I love you, and then we say, Lord, I don't like this person. I hate this person. That is a very incongruous relationship that we have with the Lord. You leave it with the Lord if that's how they behave, and that's okay. But you keep your heart right with Him. And you say like that, the scripture said, don't have vengeance on your brother. Leave it to Him. And we love each other because He loved us. He came first. He showed us the way. He loved us. And that is what Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. Jesus says, this is the first and the greatest command. There's the rabbis and the teachers came and said, out of all the 600 plus laws that Moses gave us, what is the greatest commandment? That they were trying to trick Jesus. And so Jesus, this is Jesus Christ Himself saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Then what does He say? It is the great and the first commandment. And then He says, second one is like this. And then He goes on to an additional law. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is what we just read. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. He says, He put them together. Is there one more? On these two commandments depend all of the law and all of the prophets. Law represents the first book, five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, and the prophets, all the prophets in the Bible. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you know these two commandments, you will understand the law and the prophets and everything that's within the Bible. So if you say to yourself, well, I don't have much Bible knowledge, I don't know what the Bible says, Jesus is saying, look, if you love me, that is enough. And if you love each other, you will understand the hidden gems. You know, Bible is, somebody said to me, it's a little paddle a little child could just play in and enjoy. But it's also a deep ocean for people who you know, or you might be one, a great theologian, that you can swim in that great deep ocean. You see, Bible is so simple, a little child can understand. And Bible, you can also make it so deep that people don't understand. And then you wonder why I'm not coming to the surface. You're swimming deep in the ocean. Okay, let's move on quickly. My next point is heart. My heart. I mean, what shall we say about the heart? Heart is the most important thing in our body, right? The Moses is saying here, love the Lord with all your heart. Importance of heart. You know, it pumps blood in one side, and then it kind of distributes to the rest of your body the other side. That's all I know. I mean, Dr. Jim might be able to tell you more about heart and everything. It is your inner man. It is the seat of all conscience. It is your moral man. Your heart is where everything happens. All of the intellectual activity takes place in your heart. And that's where thoughts happen. That's where emotions happen. That's where all your physical things happen. Your choices. You know, sometimes when you're, you know, you can feel all of the emotions. You know, you can feel distress in your heart. You can have depression in your heart. And you can have joy in your heart. And sometimes you feel pain in your heart. And like Hannah prayed, Lord, I don't have any children. I have, my heart is so much full of pain. And see, your heart just carries everything. Seat of all consciousness. David in his heart had it to build a temple. You can have ambition in your heart. You can have good ambition. You can have desires in your heart. And then Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. And we've been praying that for all of us. Guard your heart. And then we come across this very vivid and surprising metaphor that the prophet uses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6 to 8. This is Moses carrying on later on in the Deuteronomy, as he says, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. It's a very strange metaphor, isn't it? Circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. He keeps repeating and pounding this in the people. And you may think this morning, he said this already, Amal. Why are you saying this? And, you know, our human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 to 10. Just listen to this. This is so true of us, Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And you think you have good things in your heart? Well, let me tell you, you don't. I don't. I need to protect myself from myself because I know how my heart can think. I know what I entertain thoughts in my mind. And that's why we have to put strong walls around us and say, Lord, my heart is wicked. My mind is corrupt. There is only one person who can save me from myself is Christ. And people these days in this gospel story, they're so good in saying the God is the God of peace. Jesus will give you peace, prosperity, purpose. All of these are important and he does give you. But the main fundamental reason Jesus came on earth to do what? Is to save us from the sin that is within us. He saves us from our moral sins and our moral failings and all our wrongdoings. And I'm so happy to see all you guys getting baptized. And that's what literally means. You're dying to your own self in sin and you're coming out alive in Christ. What a symbolic representation. I love baptisms. And David says, create in me a clean heart. Do you have clean heart this morning? Do you have clean heart in rest of the week? And write the law of God in your heart. I don't have much time. I'm gonna race through. Now the next one is soul. Love the Lord your God because he is one. Love the Lord with all your heart. The next one he says is soul. You see, soul is a seat of all your passions, your desires, your activity of will, and your character. You know, when you, the real meaning there means throat. It means throat. And you may think, what? Soul is not throat. I'll tell you why. Numbers 11:5-6. Did I not give you that? Okay, I'll read it to you. Numbers 5. All my papers are going to go everywhere. Numbers 11:5-6. It's good, guys. Bring your Bible and you can flick the pages. You see, people were complaining here. Remember the fish we ate in Egypt and that cost nothing. The cucumbers that we ate, the melons we ate, the leeks we ate, the onions and the garlic. But now, it says here, My strength is dried up. This is the ESV translation. But the real word they use there is exactly this. My throat is dried up. What do we, when we are thirsty, what part of our body thirsts for the very thing that we need? It's our throat. Remember that Psalm 42, it says, Lord, my soul thirsts for you as a deer pants for water. And that's what it is. So what is he saying is, it's not just your soul, it's your living physical being. Your whole self is thirsty. And the song came this morning. I don't know whether you can find that, Tim. Come, O my soul, sing for the Lord. I think it's one of the songs that you chose, Phil. Come on, you have a lion in your lungs. You can sing for the Lord. Yeah, okay. Is that okay if you put that on? That's it. Thank you. Who is he singing to? That the writer, whoever the writer is. Come, O my soul, and don't you get shy on me. Let your song, lift up your song, because you have got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. And that is what here in Psalm 119, 175 says. I'll read this to you here. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. And that is what he's saying. Let your soul, and then elsewhere, David says, oh, my soul, why are you downcast? Lift up your souls. Means you lift up your whole thing. In the Bible, whenever they say soul, biblical writers did not mean that you have a soul. They're basically saying you are a soul, your whole being. You are a soul. And so when you devote yourself, when you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, what are you saying? Devote your whole physical existence to God because He is the one who created you. And my last point here is the strength. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You know that word comes more than 300 times in the Old Testament. And again, the word meaning there is basically... Some of you may be a grammar nerds here. So it's basically an adverb that you use in the Bible. Basically, you know, when a word that comes alongside other words to augment their meaning. So I'll give you an example. God looks at the world He made and He says, good. But on the seventh day, He says, very good. Very good. And there's the meaning there. Noah's story, again, the floodwaters became very powerful, extremely powerful. Cain wasn't just angry with his brother Abel. He was very angry. And when Saul became king, he was very happy. You see where I'm going there? And then Bible says, just like Jacob became very, very wealthy. And that's the meaning there. If this word can intensify any word's meaning, like very or much, to a total capacity, then this final thing that you use to love God isn't just a thing at all. It's actually everything. Moses points to just one thing. He's honing on this point, not only with your heart, your soul. Now he's saying the real word meaning is, I don't even know whether you will have heard this word, because I didn't when I read this. Is with all your muchness, with all your muchness. That's what it is. It means every possibility, every opportunity, every capacity that you have, with all the abundance you have, with everything. He's just making a point, full stop there. And that is what Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus in Mark says, the same thing, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And with all your strength. And do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength? And that is exactly what Moses wanted to remind this new generation, this 40 years of wilderness that they've had. Could you leave that scripture, please, Tim? And he was charging those people. And my good people, I wanted to, even as we may see in the future elsewhere, but today, here, this morning, my humble appeal and my charge to you this morning is exactly that. Love the Lord. You know, it gives me, like 3 John 1:4, I think I've emailed you this. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And that is the one good thing. If you want to make my heart joy, make us joy. And now that's the same prayer for me to you guys, which is we want to be walking in the Lord because in Christ we are united. And that is what Paul says, my brothers, and my brothers. And I know we read earlier about don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord your God. Remember what you have been saved from. You've been saved from the real sin, your iniquities, your transgression, that He laid it upon Himself. Jesus came, the great love that in the form of a man, fully God, fully man. And you know, Bible gives us the examples. When you have plenty, it's very easy to sin. David, when he was a wealthy man, when the time was to go for a war, what was he doing? He was in the terrace walking around and he saw a woman bathing. And that can happen to us if that could happen to David, who was a man after God's own heart. You see, David didn't even know what was in his own heart. That's what I'm trying to show. Our heart is evil. We need the Lord. We need Christ in our life every single day, more and more. And as you walk down the street, you want it to flow rivers of water coming out of you because you are full of joy, full of the Lord. And so, yeah, when you're in the mountaintop, be careful. Apostasy will come. Don't become self-sufficient and forget the Lord. Love Him with all your muchness, with all your heart, with all yourself. And with everything. And that is what James 2:8 says. This is the royal law. So if you want to have a title, which I didn't say. Thank you, Grant. I know I remembered that. The royal law. Remember that. Two things. Love the Lord. Vertical. And love each other. And that's the cross. Symbolizing of the cross. When Jesus came on that day, as we heard this morning about Him coming into the streets of dusty roads of Jerusalem. He came as a king when people were acknowledging Him. And do you acknowledge Jesus as your king? I've got one scripture for you. And I've got one little hymn to read to you. That be okay? Good. Finally, brethren, farewell. Farewell. I wanted to thank you once again for allowing us to serve here and to have allowed us into your hearts. Become complete. Become complete. Be mature. That's what it says. Grow to be your full version of yourself. Not like the world says, you have to be the best version of yourself. Da 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 da. Here it says, become complete. Who the Lord wants you to be. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So, my good people, I love you. My wife loves you. My kids love you. And you, like I said at the very beginning, you guys will always have a very special place in our heart. Treasured possession. Remember that. So, I came across this little hymn book in my desk. Listen to this. I don't even know when they wrote this. Probably in time of Moses. Farewell for the present. Farewell. At most for a few fleeting years. For soon with our God we shall dwell. So you will see each other in heaven and know neither sorrow nor tears. Farewell, farewell. The long looked for glory is near. Farewell, farewell. Soon Jesus, our Lord, will appear. And so no parting shall ever be known. on that happy and the heavenly shore, though seated with Christ on his throne, go out from his presence no more. So, farewell, farewell. My good brothers and sisters, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all the time that you have enriched us with. Let me pray a last prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Ridgeway Community Church, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this lovely people here. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to serve you here, allowing us to glorify you here. And Lord, I pray upon this text, Lord Jesus, Father, I give these lovely people to you. Father, would you care for them? Would you increase them? And may they love you with all their heart, Lord, with all their soul, Lord, with all their might, Lord, and strength, Lord. And as they love you and love each other, Father, I pray that they will be living disciples for you. I thank you, Jesus, for blessing us and for enriching us here. Bless them richly. Bless them richly, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.